White letters against a dark blue night sky. Warner Brothers presents a Robert Shapiro production. A Caroline Thompson film. A silver moon slowly drifts into the sky. Sean Bean, David Thewlis, Jim Carter, Peter Davison, Alan Armstrong, John McHenry. And Eleanor Bron, Peter Cook, Adrian Ross Magenti. Casting by Mary Selway, costume designer Jenny Bevan. Music by Danny Elfman, edited by Claire Simpson. Production designed by John Box. Director of photography, Alex Thompson, BSc. Based on the novel by Anna Sewell. Produced by Robert Shapiro, Peter McGregor Scott. Written for the screen and directed by Caroline Thompson. Black Beauty. The night sky darkens and fades to black. Day. Autumn trees are reflected in rippling water. On the grassy bank nearby, a black horse with a white blaze on its head sits in the shade of the trees, grazing idly. A voice represents the horse.
The story of my life is the story of the people in it. I haven't always been as lucky as I am now, in this delicious place of water and grass and sunlight. Mine is a story of trust and betrayal, and learning to trust again. I remember everything.
A man and a lad enter a stable. The lad carries an oil lamp. A mare lies on straw.
I'm here, Duchess. I'll help you.
The man, Farmer Grey, who's blonde and ruggedly handsome, crouches beside Duchess.
Come on, old lass.
Farmer Grey slowly draws a foal from the mare.
Come on, push. Push.
The foal has a white blaze on its head. Farmer Grey partially pulls back the white amniotic membrane covering the foal, which Duchess then licks off.
It was cold and too bright and strange out in the air. But then my mother kissed me. I wanted to be nearer to her.
The foal struggles to stand on its spindly legs, but falls over. Duchess stands beside the foal, which rests on its knees, then sticks its hindquarters in the air and tries to stand on its hind legs. The little foal wobbles and sways and sits down again. The men laugh. Duchess licks the foal's croup, and the foal tries to stand again, this time succeeding after a lot of effort and wobbling. Duchess continues licking the foal's flanks as he stands ever more steadily. Farmer Grey and the stable boy look on, smiling. Then Grey directs the foal's head to one of its mother's teats.
Over here, little one. It's all right.
The foal sucks hungrily. Out in a sunny field, the foal's tail wags as it stands by Duchess.
In the beginning, I stayed as close to my mother as I possibly could.
The foal suckles. The foal, which is a brownish colour, trots with Duchess. When she stops, he stops, and when Duchess sets off again, so does he. They draw to a halt. The foal's ears prick up. A bright-eyed fox stares at them from tall grass, then scuttles away.
As the weeks went by, I still stayed right beside her, but I began to have my own ideas of what we should do. So much of the time, she would just stand there. Hurry up! Let's go!
Duchess, who's a dark chestnut colour, canters with the foal beside her. Duchess's mane flows, while the foal only has a short, bristly mane. They stop cantering, and the foal lies down. A wasp flies off a buttercup. A cricket sits on a leaf. The foal's ears twitch and he shakes his head as a fly buzzes around him. An insect crawls up a thin blade of grass which sways gently in the breeze. The foal sniffs the grass. A peacock butterfly, with russet-coloured wings marked with pink, black and yellow eye spots, sits on a flower, and a bee collects pollen. The foal slowly keels over and falls asleep. A hedgehog scuttles through grass. A toad crawls onto the foal's muzzle. The foal gallops. Rabbits scurry away. Farmer Grey tentatively puts a bridle on the foal.
I don't like this. I do not like this.
Hey, don't fight me now.
Everything's changing. Even I'm changing.
Come on.
Black coats taking over my baby fur. It's all happening too fast.
The foal pulls on the rope Farmer Grey has him on. Now Black, the foal and Duchess canter freely together. Hooves gallop through water. The foal, now a colt, is with a pack.
When I turned three, my master sent me to spend the year with a gang of other colts.
They streak through sunny countryside, the black colt in the lead. The colt's tails and manes flow as they gallop over grassland dotted with leafy trees, then past glistening still water. In pastureland, the black colt leaves the four other horses and canters over to a man.
Was time. Training. The bit was the first thing. Terrible bars of cold hard steel between your teeth and over your tongue. If you've never had one in your mouth, you can't imagine what a shock it is.
Farmer Grey puts the bit on. Farmer Grey feeds the colt oats from his hand. The colt scoffs them hungrily.
But thank heaven for oats. When you're eating them, you can forget the bit's nasty coldness, the bitter metallic taste. Delicious oats, sweet oats, lovely crunchy oats, beautiful oats, splendid oats. Ow! Ow!
Yeah, just a saddle.
It's choking me.
You can still move, I promise.
Nobody could walk with this. Come back here with those oats.
Grey holds out a handful of oats at a distance. It forces the colt to follow Farmer Grey and walk with his saddle on. One of the colt's hooves is filed, then a red-hot horseshoe is fitted for size, tempered in water, and nailed on.
At first, the iron shoes made my feet feel stiff and heavy.
Farmer Grey rides the black colt, who does a slow, stiff kind of goose step, then loosens up a little. They encounter a flock of sheep who scarper. The colt bridles when he encounters water.
I said no, but he said go.
They cross the shallow water.
Come on.
Once I discovered that he and I, that the two of us could become one, this business turned out to be perfectly glorious.
The shiny colt gallops like the wind with Farmer Grey on his back. Docile Highland cattle stand in a field as horse and rider speed on through lush countryside of fields dotted with flowers and leafy trees. A herd of deer and a flock of birds scatter as they pass. A Shetland pony drinks at a trough, then stops and nuzzles the colt, who's also at the trough. Farmer Grey rides the colt off through a field of Shetland ponies, who seem dumpier still beside the colt's sleek elegance.
It was now time for me to go to a new home. My mother was proud of me and encouraged me. She knew my master would only let me go to good people. But I would miss her.
In their stable, Duchess and the colt nuzzle each other. A man rides the colt beside a lake.
Before long, a man came to take me to Birtwick Park to live with Squire Gordon and his family.
Molly, come here with that pony!
It's a white pony. A pale-faced woman rushes outside.
Stay inside, my dear. You're still much too weak.
I won't break. I want to see him.
It's a horse. Nothing more, nothing less. I promise.
A beautiful horse.
Beauty is as beauty does. How was he, John?
Perfect, sir. They were shooting rabbits up near High Wood and the guns went off. He pulled at such and he looked, but he didn't step off the path.
Did you, young fella?
What shall we call him?
We'll decide over tea. Now you really must get out of his hair.
He's as black as ebony. Ebony? Ebony. Sounds like bones.
Settle him in the stables, would you, John?
Pleasure, sir.
The squire smiles at his wife.
Let's make it simple. We'll call him Blackbird after your uncle's old horse.
But Blackbird was ugly and mean-tempered. Wait, you've already named him.
Pardon?
Beauty is as beauty does.
That's not a name.
Yes, it is. Beauty. Black beauty.
A new name. A new home. And a stable full of new horses to meet.
John leads Black Beauty into the stable yard and four horses stick their heads out of their open stable doors to look. Black Beauty stares back at them and blinks. John leads Black Beauty past the horses. All are calm except for a chestnut horse with a white blaze down its muzzle. Black Beauty shies away as the chestnut, called Ginger, shakes its head and neighs. John puts Black Beauty into the stall beside Ginger.
She'll be all right.
She was ill-tempered. She was mean-spirited. She was vicious.
Ginger snaps at him over the partition of their stalls.
She was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen.
Black Beauty tries to nuzzle her. Young Alfred Gordon sneaks up on his sisters, who are riding the white pony.
I hate Alfred. Me too.
Alfred pulls them off the pony and gets on it himself.
John!
The pony bucks.
Lazy pony! Move!
Stop it!
The pony rears, then lies down and tips Alfred sideways off its back. Sisters Jessica and Molly giggle. Alfred, wearing a muffin-shaped hat and a suit with breeches fastened at the knee, remounts the pony, but it bridles.
Move along!
The pony backs up to a horseshoe-shaped seat with cushions on it and slides Alfred off its back. Alfred tumbles onto the grass.
Merry legs!
The pony gallops off.
Keep running,
Merrylegs! Ginger and Black Beauty are nuzzling. Merrylegs, the white pony, gently headbutts open the stable yard gate and enters the yard. He goes over to the stable doors and takes each of the bolts out with his teeth, freeing some of the horses. He frees all but Ginger and Black Beauty.
Mine too! Open mine too!
Merrylegs stands in the other stall beside Black Beauty, who nuzzles him. Alfred storms into the yard, chased by Molly and Jessica.
Merrylegs, What a perfect name for the little fellow.
Leave him alone! Leave him alone!
Alfred enters Merrylegs' stall. Merrylegs trots out to hide among the free horses, John and Joe.
Better let young Joe catch him, Master Alfred. He needs the practice. Go on now, round him up.
Joe goes. Alfred makes to follow, but John blocks his way.
Thank you for offering to help, Master Alfred. I expect it's time for your tea now, isn't it?
Yes, I expect it is. Tea time, girls. Jessica, Molly, come along.
Alfred strides off.
It's a good thing John came along.
Joe had a good heart, but really not a clue.
Stand still, will ya? Stop running.
Black Beauty bares his teeth and his lips quiver rapidly as he watches Joe encircled by the horses, John with a bucket of feed.
Come on, everybody!
What a wonderful place.
Black Beauty neighs and tosses his head around merrily. His hind legs. Ginger grazes beside the lake. Black Beauty gallops down a hillside to her.
I flew down to her. I knew it would be magic between us.
Hey, wait a second. What do you think you're doing?
She kicks out her rear legs at him.
Please!
Ginger repeatedly kicks out at Black Beauty with her hind legs. Merrylegs is also there and gives him a bit of a kick. Ginger's harnessed to a carriage and is fretting.
Easy, Ginger, easy.
What's the matter with her?
You must have battered her about. If we treat her well and give her a head, she'll come round soon enough. Easy, eh? Back him on it. Kind treatment makes good horses, Joe. Bad treatment ruins them. Hey. Go on, straighten him out. Go on.
Black Beauty's also in harness.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Was I ever going to win her affection?
Ginger neighs and bares her teeth. Black Beauty and Ginger are both harnessed to the open carriage. John and Joe ride in it.
When we came to the hill, instead of slowing down and leaving me to do the work, she threw her weight into the collar and pulled away straight up. Our paces matched perfectly. I was sure that afterwards things would be different between us. They were. They were worse. Now she ignored me completely. I bounded. I leaped to the sky. I tried everything to get her attention.
In fenced-off pasture, Black Beauty bucks, frolics and skips. He even rolls on his back with his legs in the air. But Ginger either looks away or moves away. He follows and continues his performance. Day turns to dusk. Black clouds move in on a golden sunset. Night in woods.
Even though I was new, the Squire and John trusted me to get them safely back from town, no matter how terrible the storm. The wild branches tried to grab me. The rain stung my eyes like 1,000 bees.
Black Beauty is pulling a smaller carriage on his own. The wind rips the hood off, leaving the Squire and John exposed to the lashing rain.
Keep moving, Beauty!
They reach a wooden bridge which is beginning to be submerged by rising water. Black Beauty stops.
The bridge was flooded, but it looked safe.
Black Beauty proceeds cautiously.
As I reached the middle, I knew at once that something was wrong.
Beauty! Forward! Go forward!
Black Beauty backs away but goes forward again on command.
Every
Everything inside me screamed not to go any further.
Go forward!
I wanted to obey him, but he was wrong.
John jumps down from the carriage.
I know, son, I know.
He tries to lead Black Beauty forward, but the horse only moves a little, then stops.
No! How can I make you understand? We can't go near there!
Come on, Beauty. For me.
I stood fast. I tried to tell him.
Beauty pulls away.
That's enough!
John slips as the bridge breaks. John, still holding onto Beauty's reins, tumbles into the turbulent water. Beauty takes the strain on his reins and the squire jumps down from the carriage and tries to move it backwards.
I didn't know how long I could hold on to him. I had to hold on.
The squire's teeth are clenched as he tries to shove the carriage back. Beauty backs a little, dragging John towards wreckage and allowing him to clamber out of the water. Squire Gordon helps John up onto the secure side of the bridge they're on. John puts his head on Beauty's neck and hugs him.
Oh, bless you, Beauty.
They arrive home. Fragile Mistress Gordon comes out to meet them.
John! What happened?
I'll be all right, mistress. I just need to look after the horse.
You will not. You'll come inside at once.
But Beauty needs looking after.
I'll look after him, Uncle John.
All right. Do what I've shown you, Joe.
Not Joe. He doesn't know what to do. The drying sweat and rain sent a chill down to my bones.
You don't need that rug. You're boiling hot.
I wanted my rug. I wanted a heap of rugs.
Beauty's coat steams. His muzzle reaches up towards a rug on a shelf above him. Joe pours water into Beauty's bucket, and Beauty hesitates, sniffing at it, before he finally drinks.
The icy water hit my stomach like a kick in the guts. But I was so thirsty.
A pink dawn, the stable yard bathed in sunlight.
By the next morning, I was sick. Ginger stayed up all night with me. Feeling sorry for me softened her.
Ginger looks over the partition. John arrives.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, Beauty.
Beauty's lying on his side, his eyes half closed. He raises his head slightly.
It hurts.
No rug put on.
John puts the rug on Beauty.
Stupid, stupid boy. Joe! I expect the water was cold as well.
Joe arrives.
You run to the house and bring another blanket. Now!
Beauty groans. Ginger and Merrylegs look over from their stalls as John tries to give Beauty a gruel-like substance.
Come on, Beauty. You must drink it, come on.
Beauty slowly obeys. Night. Joe stands holding an oil lamp in the stall.
My poor Beauty. My good horse.
John pours liquid from a bottle into a funnel, which is attached to a tube which runs into Beauty's mouth. John forces the liquid down the tube with his fingers. Squire Gordon is with him, helping to keep Beauty's muzzle closed over the tube.
Let's hope it does him some good.
John pulls the rubber tube out of Beauty's mouth.
You're going to bed, John.
I'll stay with him tonight.
We've done the best we can.
He may need some help.
John strokes Beauty's neck gently. Another day dawns with a pink sky. Joe lies stroking Beauty. Merrylegs and Ginger look over into the stall. Beauty's eyes open slightly at water dripping into a bucket.
Every little noise was torture.
He's rocking the boat they're all in.
Ha ha ha, told you.
Watching, Mistress Gordon coughs. The squire comforts her.
Children, that's enough.
They're fine, dear.
Wearing a bonnet, blonde Mistress Gordon looks pale, frail and wistful as she watches her children. Jo is still stroking Beauty, whose eyes are dull and listless.
Please get well.
Ginger cranes her neck over the partition to look. Beauty opens one eye wider, and he looks slightly brighter. He stands up.
Beauty.
Ginger makes little noises. Merrylegs looks over his partition and flares his nostrils. Beauty tosses his head about and neighs. Ginger nudges Joe, who beams, then throws his arms round Beauty's neck.
Uncle John! Uncle John! Come and see Black Beauty!
Ginger.
Merrylegs watches Ginger and Beauty stand with their muzzles touching.
I was put into a paddock to recuperate. Joe came to visit me every day.
Joe hides in a tree trunk as Beauty gallops past. Beauty's head appears inside the tree trunk. Joe's now climbed to the top.
Catch me if you can, Beauty.
Now standing by the trunk with Joe looking down at him, Beauty starts to move his head from side to side.
What's wrong? Can't you get up here? All right, I'm coming. What are you doing?
Beauty gets down onto his knees for Joe to climb on his bare back. Joe does, and Beauty gallops off with only a rope from Beauty's bridle for Joe to hold on to.
No, no, not the sheets!
Joe's enveloped by a sheet as Beauty tears among washing lines, then into the stable yard where John goes to halt Beauty by raising his hands. Joe falls off. Joe leads Beauty into a paddock and removes his bridle. Ginger's there and stands on her hind legs. Beauty gallops through tall grass towards Ginger. The two horses canter beside the lake. They encounter Merrylegs, who stands on his hind legs as if in greeting. Beauty stands on his hind legs and paws the air with his hooves. A golden sunset descends. Night. Ginger and Beauty pull the Gordons' larger carriage toward the smart Philip Hotel. They pull up at the doorway. John is driving with Joe beside him. A doorman opens the carriage door. The squire steps out, then gently helps Mistress Gordon down. Joe jumps down to take the luggage.
My mistress had become so ill that we had to take her to a doctor, a specialist, who lived far away.
Two men walk into a stable. One, smoking a pipe, leads a horse in.
You'll not smoke that pipe in these stables.
Yeah, yeah, keep your shirt on, skinny.
Joe comes down from the hayloft and passes the guy with the pipe.
Evening.
Evening.
The elderly bloke, who's wearing a derby hat and a cloak and smoking his pipe, climbs up into the hayloft. He puffs out smoke and scans about. He spots a lit oil lamp.
That idiot left a lamp up here.
He lays his pipe beside it.
Little know-it-all ought to mind his own business.
Down below, John brushes Ginger and pats her.
Joe, you complain about my pipe, you scrawny fool, but you leave a lamp near the hay.
For you to see by. Bring it down here, will you?
Lucky for you, I came up here.
The man knocks his pipe into the hay and picks it up. Ashes have fallen from it and the hay smoulders.
What? What's that?
Beauty, it's only for tonight.
Of,
you'll be all right.
I'll be back for the horse in the morning. I'm off to... Easy, Beauty. Shh. Eat your hay.
The smouldering becomes a flame. John blows out the oil lamp and leaves hesitantly with Joe as Beauty tosses his head up and down. They close the stable doors. The flame spreads in the darkness.
Sounds and smells were so strange. I didn't know what they were. If you've never heard or smelled something, how can you understand it?
Smoke begins to cloud the inside of the stable and light glows in the hayloft. Ginger puts her head over into Beauty's stall. A clump of burning hay falls from the loft and sets straw light down among the stalls. All the horses are restless. Ginger and Beauty's heads are together. The hayloft and the stables are ablaze. The horses are tethered in their stalls. The raging fire glows in the night. Joe runs into the stable.
Oh, Beauty, I'm here. I'm here.
No! I can't leave, Ginger!
I won't let it hurt you! John, look at it!
Joe tries to lead Beauty away by a rope, but Beauty won't budge. Joe puts his scarf over Beauty's eyes.
I couldn't see anything. I had to follow him.
Ginger whinnies as they leave her. John runs up as Joe comes out with Beauty. Joe runs back into the inferno and John struggles to hold Beauty, who strains and frets.
Joe!
Ginger is silhouetted against the smoky orange blaze as Joe leads her through the inferno and out into the night, his scarf over her eyes. The two horses touch noses. John and Joe lead the animals off.
Get the horses out, lads!
Day pulling the carriage.
Joe saved us. The other horses were rescued too, but no one could help our mistress. Her illness was so advanced that the doctor ordered her to move to a warmer place. The family would have to leave England. And us.
They draw up at a railway station and the squire carries his wife from the horse-drawn carriage.
Goodbye, John. Bless you.
Please God, we may see you back again soon, mistress.
Molly and Jessica with Jack Russell's get down from a trap Merrylegs is pulling and go to hug him.
Love you, Merrylegs. You're the best, best, best
kid. Time to go, sisters.
Squire Gordon talks through an open train window to John.
I want to thank you, John, for your faithful service to my family.
We shall never forget you, sir.
Goodbye, my beauty.
The squire pulls up the window and pulls down the blind. John and Beauty stand together watching. Mistress Gordon watches sadly as they depart. Her blind is pulled down. The children stare out of their window.
Never more were we to see our family. Never more.
Beauty, Merrylegs and Ginger graze.
It was our last time together in the big pasture. But it was something nobody could ever take away from us.
Ginger and Merrylegs gallop together. The little white pony frolics. Black Beauty neighs and nods his head repeatedly, as if approving. Merrylegs shadows Ginger. Beauty rears on his hind legs.
They were dancing!
Ginger and Merrylegs turn in unison, canter on a little, then make another synchronized turn. Beauty watches and nods. Ginger paws the ground. Merrylegs stands beside her and rubs his muzzle against her shoulder. The horses are reflected in the lake. Beauty rears on his hind legs. In the stable yard, Merrylegs is harnessed to a trap.
The vicar came to take Merrylegs away. He'd promised the squire he would never sell him. I hated saying goodbye to that plucky little pony.
Joe holds Beauty, who along with Ginger, watches Merrylegs pulling the trap away out of the stable yard gates into countryside. Beauty lies in grass. Joe lies with his head on Beauty's neck. Joe rides Beauty and leads Ginger.
In no time, Ginger and Joe and I also found ourselves miles away from everything dear and familiar.
Joe rides down a path past manicured lawns and stops outside huge wrought iron gates. Joe dismounts and studies the vast mansion beyond the gates uneasily. He makes to lift a latch, but a hand slaps it down again.
Horses to the back, boy. What do you think you're doing?
York, a man in a hat and striped jacket, glares at Joe. In a stable, Joe tearfully takes off Beauty's saddle and strokes Beauty gently. Beauty's ears twitch. Joe nuzzles into Beauty's head.
I swear to you, someday, somehow, I'll be with you again.
Take me with you now.
Beauty's eyes are big and dark and round.
Joe.
Joe, who has tears streaming down his cheeks, leaves the stall. Beauty throws his head about restlessly.
Don't go.
Joe walks towards the stable door with his head bowed. Beauty blinks and watches him go.
But he was gone.
Beauty and Ginger pull a grand carriage along a gravel path which surrounds a circular lawn. They draw up before stone steps leading to the main doorway where two footmen in red and gold uniforms stand. The footmen push open the double front doors and three smartly dressed people walk out into the sunshine. Beside the carriage, York, wearing a long crimson coat and top hat, addresses them.
Lady Wexmere, Lord Wexmere, Lord George.
They stared, staring at us with their critical eyes. To them, we were no more alive than the bits of harness on our backs.
Lord George, pointing a crop, studies Ginger.
Look at the long legs on the chestnut mare. What a hunter she'd make. She'd fly over the jumps.
You must put these horses' heads higher, York.
They're not accustomed to the bearing rein. The groom said they'd never used a bearing rein on either one of them. Didn't he, York?
He did, my lord.
Be safer to bring them up by degrees.
Pish posh. These animals are not fit to be seen. One notch tighter won't kill them, will it? York?
As you wish, my lady.
To a balding groom.
Reuben, attend to the mare.
Reuben shakes his head and sighs, then tightens a bearing rein. York does Beauty's.
When a bearing rein is tightened, it pulls back your head so that you have to carry it uncomfortably high. People think it makes a horse look fancy, but it made Ginger angry.
She stamps a hoof. York gets into the driver's seat and takes the reins from Reuben.
This was a very grand place we had come to. Three or four times the size of Birtwick Park, but not at all pleasant. If a horse may have an opinion. Ordinarily, we would have put our heads down and forward, but not now. Now we had to pull with our heads up. Pain shot through our backs and legs. For what? For fashion.
The carriage draws up at the house on another occasion, and Lady Wexmere gets in.
Rein them tight, I go.
As you wish, my lady. Reuben, shorten the bearing rein on the mare.
A bearing rein is well named, for it is unbearable. It makes no sense, and nonsense can drive a horse mad.
Ginger paws the ground.
Rein them tighter, York.
As you wish, my lady.
Beauty stands calmly. Ginger tosses her head.
I didn't know how much longer Ginger could stand it.
On another occasion, the horses draw the empty carriage to the front door.
For pity's sake, York, are you never going to get those horses' heads up? Raise them at once!
As you wish, my lady.
Quickly!
And then it happened.
Ginger rears, knocking over York. Ginger breaks the shaft, which strikes Beauty's rear leg hard. York and a footman struggle to restrain her.
Keep hold of her! Hang on, sir!
She's brought down. Beauty struggles.
I can't be late for the Duchess of Beaufort.
Reuben takes over Beauty from a footman.
Give it here! Now get that shaft up! Go on, get it, quick!
Reuben moves away with Beauty, who's still struggling. Ginger is struggling on the ground.
Bloody rein's choking her. There, lassie.
York undoes the bearing rein and Ginger gets up. Reuben hurriedly steers Beauty back into his stall. Beauty turns in circles in his stall. A groom falls as he leads a limping Ginger.
You idiot! These horses have got more brains than you!
Beauty continues turning in circles. Ginger canters into the stable, followed by Reuben, the groom, and York, who run in.
Cover the chestnut with a blanket! You piss hot water in and lotion for the black one!
York enters Beauty's barred stall and tries to remove the bit and bridle, but Beauty continues turning in circles, taking York round with him. York yanks Beauty's reins and Beauty steps deliberately and heavily on York's foot. York grimaces and stifles a yell. He punches Beauty's harness, then limps out of the stall trying to put on a brave face.
Reuben! Take care of the black one, too!
As you wish, Mr. York.
Reuben enters Beauty's stall and laughs to himself as he watches York limp off. There's a deep gash on Beauty's leg where the shaft hit it, but Beauty is calm again.
My leg hurt. The wound was deep.
Well, it's her own silly fault if she misses a tea party. Not yours. No, nor mine either. It's enough to drive anybody back to drink.
Reuben strokes Beauty.
They put wicked wooden contraptions around our necks, so we couldn't even turn our heads to lick our wounds. After that, my lady never called for ginger again. I, on the other hand, continued to be subject to her every whim.
In her enormous drawing room, Lady Wexmere sits painting at an easel and adds a dab of paint to the portrait of a black horse. She looks across the room to Reuben, who's standing with Beauty on a rein. Man and horse are standing on a colourful oriental carpet. Beauty's getting twitchy. Lady Wexmere notices.
Oh. Reuben.
Beauty's tail lifts.
Look, man, look!
Reuben lowers his eyes awkwardly to the carpet. Beauty pulls Reuben in a small open-top carriage. They enter a village and draw up at a carriage maker's. An elderly man comes out and surveys the carriage.
Got a job for us then, Reuben?
Yes, well, it stood out in all weathers. Between that and the roads up there.
Plenty of rot here.
Aye, plenty of rot everywhere.
Yes. What do they want doing then?
Well, my lady craves a new coat of paint.
I believe your lady could use a good deal more than a new coat of paint.
Amen.
Reuben spots a horse-drawn beer wagon. He takes a saddle from out of the carriage.
Keep the horse for me, will you? Best leave it saddled. I daren't be late.
Where are you going then, Reuben?
I'll be back later.
The moon's in the sky. Standing groggily beside a bucket of water beneath a pump, Reuben scoops some of it up in his hand and pours it over his head. He then staggers back a little and puts his hat on. The lad he gave the saddle to leads Beauty out to him.
Listen. There's a little show.
Yeah. Where are you going?
You mustn't ride him, Mr. Smith.
Oh, Reuben to Beauty.
Stand up, will you?
He's standing.
Come on.
Weaving about, Reuben leads a reluctant Beauty to the water pump, which is on a stone plinth, which acts as a mounting block. Reuben wobbles towards the rear end of Beauty and points at nothing.
Stand up.
Staggering onto the mounting block, Reuben gets on Beauty but is facing the horse's rump end. Reuben's eyes rove about blearily.
Where's your damned head?
Reuben falls forward and off Beauty. Reuben rises, shoves the lad away and struggles back onto Beauty. Riding at full pelt through dark woods, Reuben urges Beauty on.
Pushed me. What was the matter with him? I was losing my shoe, but he had lost his mind.
Beauty struggles against the bit in his mouth. Reuben kicks his feet into Beauty's sides, spurring him on. Beauty's frothing at the mouth. The shoe comes off. Beauty falls, scraping his knees on the stony ground. Reuben is thrown and lands with a thud. He slowly looks up and across at Beauty, whose knees are raw and bloody. Sad-eyed, Beauty stands panting. Reuben grimaces and sinks back down to the ground.
My body couldn't escape, but my thoughts could. They took me away from that awful place. Far away.
The darkness turns to light, and Beauty remembers himself as a foal with Duchess. Beauty sits beside Duchess as she stands in a field full of buttercups. Beauty stands and suckles. His small tail whisks about. Beauty lies down calmly at Duchess's feet and sleeps. In the forest, it's now day.
But there was Reuben, still lying where he'd fallen. I stayed with him. My mother had taught me to be loyal, no matter what.
Good Lord, what's happened here?
Right. Roll him over.
Beauty reacts to Ginger pulling their carriage.
So we can get him to his feet.
I'll carry him.
York and a groom shove Reuben in the back of their carriage, which York drives while the groom leads a limping Beauty.
Every step was agony. I didn't know if my knees would ever heal.
Listen to the stable as York tends Beauty's knees.
We don't get to choose the people in our lives. For us, it's all chance.
Lord George is riding Ginger in a race and whips her as he makes his way through the field of riders.
Come on! Come on, get on, get on!
They jump a hedge. George is near the leaders.
Come on, come on, come on! Come on!
Wearing a red riding hat and top, George steers Ginger towards another fence. She clears it, and they make for the winning post in the lead. Lord George brandishes a trophy.
Lovely ride, son.
Thank you, Mama.
Good God, George, what have you done to the horse? Didn't you bother to train her?
I won the race.
You've broken her. She can't breathe properly.
Ginger loved jumping. Her heart leapt at every fence. But they raced her before she was fit, and it shattered her.
They used to be such beautiful animals. Now just look at them. Ruined.
Well, a 12-month run should bring back the mare's win, my lord.
Yes, well, the black one will have to be sold. Won't have knees like that in my stables.
Sold? Every horse knows that terrifying word.
In a sunny paddock, Ginger and Beauty nuzzle each other's muzzles. Beauty is led away on a rope.
When they came to take me away, it was so sudden that Ginger and I didn't even get to say goodbye.
Ginger frets as she watches Beauty trudge along with two men through a field of parched grass. Beauty stands in a grim village stable.
The terrible man who bought me kept horses for rent.
Suck it in!
I was rented out to anyone who wanted to hire me.
A man gallops Beauty through a wooden fence and whips him. Beauty pulls a carriage with two women and a boy in it, and a male driver who whips Beauty and yanks at the reins, making Beauty turn sharply. Beauty's slender legs are caked with muck as he trudges along through muddy puddles.
I was glad my friends couldn't see me now. They wouldn't even have known me.
Beauty and other horses stand in their stalls in the man's stable.
We hated that man.
As he passes, the horses each kick out a rear leg, but they miss him. He turns to them.
Ah, you miss me, you stupid beasts! Ah!
Behind him, Beauty fetches him a kick and drops him. At a horse fair, a man breathes fire. Men walk on stilts to the applause of the crowd. The horses are in pens. A man inspects a horse's teeth.
This horse is 20 if it's a day.
This lively place lifted my spirits.
Beauty stands looking around. A portly woman does a balancing act on a pole while a man with a tambourine touts for applause for her.
Wait, I know who that is. It's Joe. Older, taller, but it's him.
Beauty nods excitedly.
Where'd he go?
A man checks Beauty roughly.
What's happened to this one's knee?
Stop it.
He took the spill in the stall. Spill in the stall.
What are you doing? Where's Joe? There he is. Let me go!
Come on,
you
fucking devil, come here!
Lively one, innit?
Beauty wrestles free and looks about. He spots Joe again, who's looking at all the horses. Beauty neighs to attract his attention. Hearing the neighing, Joe stops and looks about, then turns and walks away.
Joe, don't leave! I'm here!
Another man sees Beauty and smiles as he looks at him. Beauty calms and snorts, his eyes sad. The smiling man ambles up and climbs under a rail and into Beauty's pen. He strokes Beauty's hind quarters, then examines the horse's knees. The man holds one of Beauty's knees with one hand and brings the hoof back with his other hand. He moves the hoof from side to side to check mobility. The man stands and gently strokes Beauty's head and muzzle. The owner watches and offers a hand as he states a price. He and the man slap hands each time a price is stated.
25 guineas is yours.
I'll give you 15 for him.
18.
16.
18!
17, not a penny more.
Done.
Night in a busy city. A horse-drawn omnibus passes. Tradesmen's horse-drawn wagons rattle through the cobbled streets. The man who's bought Beauty leads him through the throng of people.
How are you supposed to get through? There were too many people. There was too much noise. The smell was awful.
Come on, coming through, coming through. There's a lad.
Where was the grass?
Whoa, here we go.
Where were the trees?
Excuse me.
Beauty's new owner, in his 30s and wearing a bowler hat, leads him into a dingy stable which is attached to a ramshackle house.
It was cramped and damp and dank and dark and dreary.
Jerry, what's wrong with him?
He's frightened.
Jerry's family watch.
Step up
there. Let him go. We want to go and pat him.
Give me a brush, Dolly. Don't worry. Harry, put some straw in that stool.
Little girl Dolly gets a brush and lifts a stool.
Dolly, no.
It's all right, it's all right. Come on, just do it quietly. Give him a chance. Up we go. There we are. Thank you.
Jerry lifts Dolly onto the stool.
Like baby fur here.
Hey?
He's so soft.
Yeah, he is. Come on, Paul, give us a hand.
She does.
How's it going with that straw, Harry?
Already dead.
Go and get yourself a brush, then.
The whole family brush Beauty.
There. He's not so frightened now.
What about when he has to pull the cab?
Have faith.
I listened quietly.
What should we call him?
Jack. After the old one.
He's far blacker than Jack. When he's cleaned, his colour comes up lovely.
Seen something in him now, are you, Paul?
I didn't say that.
Yeah. All right. We'll call you Black, because you are, and Jack, after the old one, and altogether Black Jack, because the odds are stacked against us both.
Blackjack.
What you got there, Dolly?
Blackjack wants to be pretty.
Good idea.
Dolly's putting braids in Beauty's mane. Harry holds a bucket while Beauty eats from it.
All at once I had hope. It's good people that make good places. Still, I wondered what tomorrow would bring.
Day in the busy streets full of traders. Beauty pulls a handsome cab sedately. Jerry stands at the back of the cab holding the reins which rest on the roof of the cab. Beauty stops.
Walk on. Come on. Dancing. Walk on.
Beauty does.
Problem solved. Infestation cleared.
A man in a top hat, Mr. Crenshaw, the cabbie's boss, calls out from a cab rank.
Hello, Jerry! Have you got a good one?
Great one!
Ah, it's too black! They're good for a funeral!
Jerry laughs at another cab driver's comment. Jerry steers Beauty round gently into the cab rank where other cabbies smile.
Whoa, whoa. Braids on his mane and tail? What? Are you going on a parade this afternoon, Jerry?
He wanted to be pretty for his first day.
Pretty for his first day? Did you hear that, lads?
Yeah, he's a regular dandy. Bit like myself.
Jerry goes to stroke Beauty's head.
Why shouldn't you be, eh? Hey. Don't worry. No worry, old black, old Jack, old boy. All right.
Jerry's hands, the quiet of them, gave me confidence.
They stand in sunshine as a bevy of nuns walk by briskly.
We spent our days at one cab stand or another, collecting passengers. It was a hard life. The streets are hard on a horse's feet. A cab is hard on a horse's back. But I was lucky. I had Jerry. We were in it together.
A man brings a mug back to a stall.
Morning!
Morning, Dinah.
Kevin!
There you go, Jerry.
Kevin!
The client pushes Dinah over in his haste.
You all right, dear?
Yes, thanks.
Here, let's get these up quickly. Get run over.
Look sharp!
Put on the steam, will you, and get us to Victoria for the 10 o'clock train.
We'll take you there, sir, but at the regular pace.
You mean a shilling extra?
At the regular pace.
I'm your man, gentlemen. I'll get you there in time. It's against his conscience to work his horse into a sweat, but it ain't against mine. Make way! Coming through! Get up! Get up!
Easy, easy, peasy, little GG. You all right, Dinah?
Still in one piece, Jerry!
Oh, bonkers. All of them.
Coming through!
At home, Jerry brushes Beauty while Paul sweeps the yard.
Dinah Brown's mother, Jerry. Oh, she's in a bad way.
Oh? Poor Dinah.
She can't even go to her. The place is in the country. Well, there aren't any trains on Sunday.
The horse is tired, Polly. I'm tired. It's our one day of rest.
But oughtn't
we treat folks the way we like to be treated,
yes. You're giving me my Sunday sermon early today, are you?
I know, if my mother was dying.
If I could get a lighter car, it'd make a wonderful difference to the horse.
Look! Here comes Butcher Dawes now to lend you his light trap.
Yes. Yeah. You're a clever woman, Paul. All right. Fix me some bread and cheese and I'll get ready.
She's already prepared it. Dinah rides alongside Jerry on the light cart as Beauty trots down a sandy track to a pretty cottage. They turn off and pull up outside the red brick cottage where cows graze in a meadow in front. Jerry and Dinah jump down from the cart.
Feel free to tie your horse over with the cows. The meadow belongs to us, not to the estate.
I'd rather set him loose. It'd be a real treat for him to have a bit of a turnout. You know?
Oh, kind to me, kind to the horse.
Go on, run inside and see your mother.
Oh, you're a tough one, Jerry. How can a person ever repay you?
She heads inside with a wicker basket of food Jerry's handed her from the cart. Jerry leads Beauty into the meadow and stops in the shade of a large leafy tree.
Here we go. Here we go. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Jerry takes Beauty's yoke, harness, bridle and bit off.
You.
Beauty, his coat shiny and sleek, gallops about the meadow where bundles of corn stand in higgledy-piggledy rows. Jerry smiles, takes off his hat and settles down with his box of food and a bottle of beer.
Grass! Not a cobblestone in sight. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Now, where's that biscuit?
Running made me very happy. Why shouldn't Jerry be happy too?
Hey! What the? Give it me! Give it here!
Beauty's pinched Jerry's bread, and Jerry's chasing him. The cows watch calmly. Jerry smiles and gives up with a wave of his hands. Jerry flops down onto the grass and lies on his back, panting. Beauty sidles over to him, chewing the bread, bits of which drop onto Jerry. Jerry picks up a bit of bread.
Right. Thanks. The visit to the country refreshed me. But I found I couldn't stop thinking of her. Then, as if by magic, there she was.
She's a cab horse.
My beautiful Ginger. Oh, God, she was skin and bones. What had they done to her? She was almost too weak to know who I was.
Beauty stands beside her.
It's me, Ginger. It's me.
He stares at her.
The brightness was gone from her beautiful eyes. Her face, once so full of spirit, was now full of suffering. I tried to comfort her. I wanted her to know she wasn't alone. Don't give up, Ginger.
They stand with their muzzles close as Beauty makes comforting noises.
Get on! Get on with you!
Ginger's owner whips her and she moves off.
My precious friend.
Night, Beauty sits in his stable.
That night, I dreamed of her. I dreamed of what was. And I dreamed of what might have been.
He dreams of galloping back over the field he was led away from, and of he and Ginger standing on their hind legs and prancing in a paddock. In his stable, Beauty stares down and blinks. Day, it's raining. At a cab rank, Jerry puts a cover over Beauty. Ginger's carried away under a tarpaulin on the back of a cart. Only her lifeless head is uncovered, and her tongue hangs out of the side of her mouth. Raindrops trickle down Beauty's muzzle as he watches the cart pass.
Goodbye, my sweet one.
A snowy night. Jerry and Beauty stand outside a house.
Just be patient. It's ladies and gents who pay our rent. They'll be out any time now, you'll see.
Snow is falling heavily. Jerry walks up and down, clapping his arms around himself as he coughs and sniffs. Footprints in snow lead to Jerry, who sits on the step of his cab, arms folded. Jerry goes to the door of the smart house he's waiting outside.
Beg your pardon, sir. I was engaged to come round at 9 o'clock. It's now after midnight. I thought perhaps the gentleman wouldn't want the cab.
Well, yes, you'll be wanted soon enough. The party's nearly over.
We waited for our passengers. And waited. People aren't thoughtless just to horses. They're also cruel to each other.
Beauty nuzzles Jerry.
Bless your heart, old man.
Two drunks stagger out of the house. They clamber into the cab.
Oh, get a move on. Freezing.
Just in a moment, sir.
Don't be impertinent. We could have had two more drinks in a moment. All gone.
Beauty obeys. Lights shine out from Jerry's house. Beauty stands in his stall, staring down. Harry comes out of the house, his head bowed.
Something was the matter. Jerry always looked after me. But here was the boy instead.
Harry picks up a pitchfork and ducks under a barrier to get into Beauty's stall. Mr. Crenshaw enters the stable.
Harry, I didn't want to trouble him at the house. How's your dad?
It's in his lungs, Mr. Crenshaw.
I'm very sorry, my boy.
Doctor says it'll turn one way or the other tonight. He says Dad can't drive cabs no more.
Keep your chin up, Harry. Help your mum.
Harry nods and strokes Beauty. Crenshaw responds with a nod and a faint smile, then goes.
Never drive a cab again? How could that be?
Day, Harry leads Beauty through a bustling outdoor market.
It was good to be outside. I wanted to go back to work.
Now, Blake, we're not going to the cabs then. You're just stretching your old legs, old Jack. Morning, Donna. Morning, Harry. Is your mum home?
Yes. Yeah.
Harry glances back at Dinah as she stands on the step knocking on the house door. Harry enters the stable to find Dolly putting stuff into a wicker basket.
Dolly, what do you think you're doing?
Packing. We're moving to the country.
What?
Daddy's going to drive coaches.
They run inside, leaving Beauty.
What would happen now? Even though cab work had taken its toll on me, I had hoped to spend the rest of my days with Jerry.
Paul, Doll and Harry stroke Beauty.
Goodbye, beautiful black.
Paul goes, followed by Harry, leaving Dolly stroking Beauty.
Daddy said to give you a kiss for him.
Dolly kisses Beauty's muzzle, then turns away miserably from his stall and goes to Paul, who stands beside a coach and holds her hand out to her daughter. Jerry is sitting in the coach. He stares out at Beauty. Jerry's eyes have dark rings under them and he looks pale and fragile. Beauty meets Jerry's tearful gaze and the coach pulls away.
I was sent to a grain dealer where Jerry expected me to be treated fairly. But what he expected and what was were as different as a kind word is from a whiplash.
A cart driver wields his whip and Beauty sets off, pulling a cart piled high with sacks up a steep grassy slope. Beauty stops halfway up.
Come on!
The weight of the cart makes it slide back, pulling Beauty with it. He collapses to the ground on his knees, which still bear the scars of his fall.
For 2 long years I pulled the heavy carts, until I could not pull any more.
Still in harness, Beauty collapses onto his side.
16 guineas for the pair. Warranty to ride and drive, warranty to ride and drive. 16 guineas. Who give me 16 guineas? Anybody out there? 16 guineas for the pair.
Not worth bothering about any of this lot. Oh, there's nothing for them but their butcher's knife.
I was too weak to care.
An old man looks sadly at the emaciated Beauty up for sale. A boy spies Beauty.
Was that one a carriage horse, Grandad?
Oh. He might have been anything.
He's a finer build than the other horses, though. Wouldn't you say, Joe?
Beauty's head is lowered and his mane has flopped over his white blaze.
Poor old thing. Expect we'll have better luck next month at Langley.
Beauty raises his head.
That voice. It woke me up. I knew that voice. It was Joe.
Hearing the neighing, Joe turns back and scans the horses in the sale. Joe's eyes light on Beauty and he seems mesmerized when he sees the horse dipping its head up and down and shaking it from side to side. Joe, his eyes fixed on Beauty, whose white blaze is still concealed, walks slowly towards him. Joe stands before Beauty and slowly moves his mane aside to reveal the blaze. Joe looks tearful and gently strokes Beauty's muzzle.
Black Beauty. I'm here, Beauty. I'm here. You're safe now.
Joe rests his head against Black Beauty's dull coat and strokes him gently. Trees reflected in rippling water, Black Beauty sits in the shade on a riverbank.
I have now lived in this happy place a whole year. My strength and spirits are back. Joe promises me I'll never be sold. My troubles are over, and I am at home.
His coat is shiny again,
Often, I fancy I'm still in the big pasture at Birtwick Park. I'm together with my old friends. And nothing will ever separate us again. Ever.
Beauty, Ginger and Merrylegs are reflected in the lake as they graze at the water's edge in Birtwick Park. Merrylegs gallops along the lakeside. Ginger gallops and kicks out her hind legs. Black Beauty races after her. Their coats are shiny and sleek, their bodies lithe and powerful. Ginger and Black Beauty are reflected in rippling water. The image freezes on Black Beauty and fades to black. ITFC audio description by Helen Vasey.